Dale H. Titchener, CEO of ConsultWebs.com, a web design company for law firms, talks with Ed about SEO, search engine optimization. They talk about how SEO can help produce increased revenues for law firms and some of the interplay between social media and SEO.
Dale, thanks for joining us today.
I'm glad to be with you, Ed. I appreciate this opportunity. I've known you for a long time, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to some of your listeners.
Well, if we're talking about marketing and web design, we're talking about the Internet. If we're talking about the Internet, one of the things that frequently pops up is the idea of getting your website top of mind, so to speak, in front of people. And the technique that I have heard so many people talk about over the last few years is search engine optimization, or SEO. How is that working today, and how can that help a law firm increase its visibility and, as a result, its revenue?
That's a good question. As you probably know, the Internet is growing rapidly. It's growing, depending on the statistics you read, anywhere from 15 to 20 to 25% per year. And unlike a lot of the other mediums, for example, Yellow Pages is really struggling. Some of the publishers have filed bankruptcy, basically, and TV is doing well, depending on how it's approached. But the Internet is growing, and people are going to the Internet to find products and services. And search engine optimization helps a firm increase their revenue by getting them in front of the prospective clients when they have the need, and we achieve getting the client in front of our clients by having high search engine rankings in search engines such as Google. Now, the law firms that rank in the top 10 will receive virtually all of the cases. Few people go to page 2, which is results 20 and over, or page 3. They typically will look at page 1, they'll see a firm that interests them, and they will click on that firm and make a decision. They'll look at maybe 2 or 3 sites, that they'll choose the website that's compelling and ranks high.
Well, Dale, let me ask this question. You know, assuming for the moment that we are able to get on that first page or the top 10 in ranking, and I suppose that that's a hard thing to do in itself, but assuming we get there, what's the differentiating factors that you see people considering in making their decision as to which one to click on?
That's a good question. People have a need. They know what they're looking for. They're looking for an estate planning attorney, a personal injury attorney, or whatever. And so they look at a description that matches what they're looking for. Then they click on the website. And if the website has to be compelling, it has to deliver the information that they want. They're not interested in biographies, monuments, and those sorts of things to the firm. They're interested in knowing, what can you do for me, and are you the best firm? So if the website is compelling, answers our questions, is attractive, which is important these days because they do look at others, and that firm will get the call. Now, not very few people are experts in web design, but I often hear them. People say, I don't know what I want, but I know what I like. With websites, they know what they like. They know what appeals to them. So it's very important to have a professional, compelling website that does address the client's needs.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a number of people have asked me in my coaching to evaluate their website, and I'll go onto the website in beta format and, you know, look at it, understand it, have an opinion about it, but that's one person. And sometimes I think that we fall in love with our own stuff or we're, on the other side, super critical of our own stuff. How can we get an objective perspective? The designer does what the designer thinks is best, and they put their best foot forward in creating their work product. How do we really know if it's attractive to a large enough body of people to be effective?
Very good question. And you made several good asked several good questions as you were talking through that. You do need more than one person, and a lot of attorneys will design a website based on what they like. And what they're forgetting is that the consumer has a different mindset, whereas attorneys will read pages of text and have no problem with that. And it can be just page after page of text with no color, no photos, nothing like that. And they're comfortable with that. However, the public is accustomed to seeing graphics and color and entertaining graphics and so forth. And so there's a totally different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to the design it something that will appeal to the particular audience. Now, the way we do that, of course, is a lot of it's through experience. We do a lot of analysis. We do focus group type work. We look to see what people are doing and experience. We've done several hundred websites, and we know which ones have worked the best, and we analyze why. And then apply that knowledge we've gained to the other designs that we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that really naturally leads me to the next question, which would be that a lot of companies, you know, you and your competitors and others who are in the search engine business, they claim to provide high search engine results. But what are the ways that I, as a layperson coming to you, can determine if you or these other folks in the space that we're talking about can actually deliver?
Another very good question. And interestingly, I was talking to a firm last week that said they'd been called by at least one search engine optimization company every day that week. So people are realizing, attorneys are realizing, everyone's realizing that the Internet is where it's at now. People are looking for products and services there. I mean, the children are on the Internet, the adults. A high percentage of Americans, 70% is one number I've read, have access to the Internet, even if they don't, they're not physically in front of it. So it's hot, and people are looking. And there are a lot of people saying this is a way to make money and looking to tout themselves as SEO experts. Now, the real good news is it's very easy to determine whether a firm can deliver high rankings by simply testing a few of their clients. If, for example, if you're a law firm, if you're the state planning law firm or personal injury firm, go to a neighboring city or other cities and type in your practice areas in that particular city and see which sites rank at the top. Go to the bottom of the page and see the vendor's name, see what vendor designed it. And even if you can't find it at the bottom of the page, where most designers and SEO people put their name, you can usually do a Google search on the firm name and design or designers and so forth, and the name will come up. Or you can simply call and ask them. Most people, if they're having results and you're not a competitor, they're proud to tell you who they work with. But do searches on the cities, the practice areas, and then also call some of the clients. Now, we list all of our clients on our website. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't, but we welcome people to call any of our clients. So call clients, and don't just call maybe five clients or pet clients that a firm might give you. Do some research, find out multiple clients, and call them and ask them, are you achieving rankings? Are you satisfied? Are you getting cases? What is your return on investment? Did they do a good job for you? Are they responsive? And you learn a lot that way. You can do a few hours of research and save yourself thousands of dollars and a lot of heartache.
That sounds like an incredible amount of due diligence. But one of the things that I notice is, for myself, for example, in my own website, lawbiz.com, somebody will ask me whether I've gotten results. And I've never really been able to track that. I mean, first of all, I don't track the statistics because that's not my job, so to speak, at least in my head, and I suppose I should. But also, even if I were to get a million hits a day, it's kind of like, well, I don't know how many of those hits got converted into business. I don't know where the business comes from. How is it that you can have a better feel for this? I guess, A, how can you have a better feel for this? And B, should you, as the lawyer, be focused on the statistics, or should you trust your webmaster?
No, you should not just trust your webmaster. And that's statistics. Let's talk about that first. It is important that your webmaster look, of course, but you also look. If a lot of webmasters, if they determine that you aren't looking, they're not going to look quite as closely. But there are certain things you can look at easily and tell what kind of results you're getting. For example, you can see who are my referrers. Now, when I talk about referrers, I talk about Google. We're talking about Google. We're talking about directories and maybe other websites. And if you determine that you're not getting much traffic from Google, there's something wrong. You can do some searches and see what's happening. If you're paying a lot of money, a few hundred dollars, a few thousand dollars a month for directories, and you're not getting any referrals, you know that's not a good investment. You need to apply your money elsewhere or websites. If you're getting referrals or clicks from certain websites, maybe you need to look into that and say, well, I'd like to have some more of that. Can I buy some more prominent space on your website? Statistics will also tell you what phrases people are searching to find you. And if you have a phrase you feel like is important and you're not getting any clicks from that, you need to focus on that. So statistics can tell you an awful lot. But the real true test is to do a good job on intake and say, when someone calls you, say, well, how did you hear about me? And really dig deeper. One of our clients, for example, only does internet advertising. They're in New York, and they do extremely well on the internet. But about 8% of the people that they ask that question to say, I heard about you on TV. Well, they don't do TV advertising, but it turns out they heard a TV advertising for the particular case area and did a search, and this our client came up, and they called them, but they said TV. So you have to dig a little deeper than just taking the first answer.
That's fascinating. Well, let me ask you this question. When I started in the internet, first creating my own website, the webmaster, and every webmaster at the time, did hosting, did designing, did the limited SEO that was prevalent at the time, and a couple of other things, sort of a generalist. And in today's world, I know that you've got some people who are designers, some people who claim to do only SEO, and other people who claim to do various other aspects, but only that. Where is the state of the industry today? And I guess in part this comes back to the question as to a generalist versus a specialist. I mean, you can say that about lawyers as well. Are you a generalist or are you a specialist in estate planning or in tax work or in labor and so forth and so on? How would you see this playing out in your industry as it relates to lawyers?
Yeah, you are exactly right, Ed. In the past, someone would do it all. And there was a time when a small one- or two-person company could do everything, and those days are gone. The most important part of this, well, there's two really important parts to being successful on the Internet, and that is, as I mentioned earlier, is to have a compelling design, and the other area is that people find you. Now, secondarily, there's hosting, and there's email. Most people like us can provide those very easily and economically. We, for example, lease several servers, dedicated servers just for ourselves. We lease them from large companies for a variety of reasons, but they're dedicated only to our clients. So that's not a difficult thing to do, not an expensive thing to do, and it's kind of often included right in the package. You're right that today it's a specialist world. A designer is not typically a good SEO person. Well, they're really not, hardly ever. And the reason is it's two different mindsets. A designer focuses on good design, attractive design, and the areas they focus on. The programmer has a little different mindset. And some of our sites have some pretty complex programming. They're not very interested in the design and the art, the look and feel, and so forth. And the designer nor the programmer really care about search engine optimization. That's studying analytics. understanding what people are typing, caring what people are typing, looking into what's successful, looking into what someone might type in New York versus in Mississippi. And they are two different. People in Dallas, for example, type wrecks real often. People in other areas type accidents for personal injury. So they're all different. It does require different types of people. In our company, we have a pretty good-sized company, and we have different teams. We have a programming team, a design team, search engine optimization team. We have a content team headed by an attorney, and they all focus on their area. And, of course, they work together when they bring the product together and in the planning phase.
Well, Dale, what's the difference between a programmer and a designer?
A designer will focus on the look.
Okay.
The color. Knowing that, for example, men like blue, knowing the certain practice areas, it's good to have this particular color to illustrate what you're looking for, to bring someone's eye to it. The programmer will write the programming to tie the pages together, to maybe bring out some reporting, areas like that.
So are you suggesting that each company – let me rephrase that. Are you suggesting then that a lawyer needs to hire four or five different people? Specifically, an example of somebody that does the SEO and somebody else that does the design?
No, not really. I am saying that a one- or two-person company is not going to be successful. Do not hire a company that has one or two people, or do go out and hire multiple companies if you can't bring it together. The approach we take, and some of the people in our business, is that we have a company of teams of people that do everything. In our company, we have a team of designers, a team of SEO people, a team of programmers.
Okay. All right. Now, let me move on to the new world. It's hard to believe that what we're talking about is the old world. But the new world of social networking, social media, and the like – how does that networking impact help with search engine optimization?
Okay. Can I step back to the previous topic for just a moment?
Sure.
And it's good. I think it's good. It helps us and saves our clients money by having one company do it all as opposed to having multiple companies work together to try to build a site. Everyone has a different approach, and if one company does it all and that company is competent and you've checked the references, you will save yourself a lot of money and have a better product by having one group do it all and plan the SEO as you're planning the design, plan the programming as you're planning both of those and tying it all together so that you're not then trying to three buildings together instead of building one building.
Well, along that line then, how would you react to the idea of somebody calling you and saying, hey, Dale, I'd love you to do an audit of my site. I'd love for you to check my statistics, and I'd love for you to give me a recommendation on how I can improve. Is that kind of technology audit or website audit something that you do or that others do?
It's something we do. It's something that I think you do. We both know some other people that do it well, but certainly we can do audits and recommendations.
So if somebody with a website were to come to you and say, we'd like you to check it out, we've been happy with what has happened thus far, but of course we haven't checked it out a lot. Ignorance is bliss, all that kind of thing. But we'd love you to check it out for us. What's the kind of ballpark cost somebody could anticipate?
Depending on the range, from $1,000 to $10,000 would be a range. And I know that's a wide range, but it really depends on a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
I will like to step back on one other area too. Is I said that it's better, in my opinion, for one firm to do it all, but we often do have firms come to us and say, I'm happy with my design. Could you just quote search engine optimization or just do programming or whatever? And we're realists, and we know that sometimes someone does have a good relationship with the design firm, and the design firm, there are some excellent design firms out there. So sometimes it does work very well if you bring in someone else to do a particular area for you, and that can work very nicely.
Okay. Well, let's go to the social media, social networking issue, and ask you how that impacts the optimization we're discussing.
Okay. My philosophy is that we want to be anywhere that the consumer is looking for our law firm's services. And there are a lot of people that go to Facebook, and that's pretty much all that's where they spend their day. A lot of people go to YouTube and do their searches there. They don't go back to Google and do searches. If they're looking for something, they do it on YouTube. They like to watch videos. So it's real important to have exposure in all those areas. Interestingly, YouTube had a tremendous number of searches. I believe it was January. They're not a search engine, but they had as many searches as not Google, but several of the other search engines combined. And so what that's telling you is a lot of people go to YouTube. And you, as you probably know, Ed, you can go to YouTube and learn to put together just about any product, how to design something, do just about anything. And again, a lot of people live there on Facebook, so it's important to be there. Now, another objective that you want is to have people go to your site. And a way that you can drive people to your site is through the social network. You can have a prominent Facebook page for your law firm. You can go to Twitter and make posts. And for more information, click here or have your law firm website posted. I know you do a lot of Twitter posting and do a very good job of it. But an objective there is for people to say this individual is posting consistently, their information is good, and they start following you, become one of your followers, and they start clicking on your website, become familiar with your website. And if you are a business attorney, estate planning attorney, and so forth, you want people looking at that information. You want to provide relevant information with the goal of having them come to your website.
Well, I started going on to YouTube, and we post a video every week, tip of practice management. And I was absolutely amazed at the format of it and the depth of the research and searching, as you're suggesting. It really is amazing. And also with Facebook, I think LinkedIn started out hot and heavy. I'm not sure where they are today in the hierarchy, but everything I hear today is Facebook, not LinkedIn.
Right.
So it's all this stuff, I guess, you just can't ignore anymore if you want to be an effective marketing person.
Correct.
Well, Dale, I want to thank you for joining us today. The introspection into search engine optimization and, of course, how the Internet and other aspects of it are all interrelated, impacted by one another, all are, as I see it anyway, not the ends, not the goals, but rather the mediums by which the marketing approach, the awareness of the lawyers and what they're offering to their prospective clients really do. It's the end goal still is to pull the folks into your network, to pull the folks into your office. And these are just marketing tools in the new generation on how to achieve that. So thank you again for joining us.
You're very welcome, Ed. Thank you.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.